and a lot of talking about our learning together. And that's what's going to happen in this particular hour. One of the things that Pastor Chris and I have been talking about for a number of months as we've been thinking about our church life and how we can better fulfill our responsibilities was the use of this particular hour. And really making this hour far more educational, that is, in the sense of doing some things here that I probably cannot do on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening. For example, the material that we're going to be looking at over the next many, many, many weeks together on evangelism training. Mr. Donnelly right now, for example, is teaching a class on women of the Bible. I'm sure it's a fascinating study, probably, though, not a study that I would preach on a Sunday morning, probably not. Somebody else might, but that's probably not how I'm wired to do that. There are a whole lot of things that we need to address in our understanding of our God and His Word that this format serves best. And so, I will serve as the primary teacher in here. We'll supplement it with some of our other men who are gifted in that particular area, but maybe not able to take on the responsibility full time and do that week after week after week, but could probably do it in short bursts of 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever. And we will continue down that particular road together. So we worship together. We do that in the morning service. We live together. We do that in our small groups. We learn together here in the education hour. And really, those are the three things that we as a body of believers expect of each other. And I certainly hope, it's my desire, that this time will grow in its numbers as you learn God's Word, as others see the importance of learning that at this time as well. I hope that you'll communicate about that. And I really hope it does become an expectation on the level of our worship and on the level of our small group. I think that would be critical for our time together. So, a couple of things that you can expect. One thing that you can expect is when 9:15 comes around, I'll be starting. So if you arrive, you know, a little later than that, that's when you arrive. But know that we will have already started. We only have 45 minutes, and that's not a lot of time to cover material week after week after week, especially as you begin to ask questions and interact with me and with each other within the class. That time goes by very, very fast. So it's critical that we get started at 9:15. We quit at 10. All the other Sunday school classes, they get to go till 10:15. They have an additional 15 minutes. So Pastor Chris can do whatever he's doing back there. They go till 10:15. We don't. We end at 10 o'clock. And I'm pretty much a stickler about that. Those in my class previously will tell you, you know, I do everything I possibly can to get us done by 10 o'clock. I need to transition my mind to other things. So it's as much about what I'm doing as it might be about what you should be doing in that 10 to 10:30 hour. Besides that, I want to give you as much time to interact with each other in that half hour. I want to give you as much time as possible to interact with our guests. And we'll be talking about that in our class as we continue to go. So you can expect to start at 9:15. You can expect to be done at 10 o'clock. Because we are doing some educational kind of things, you may remember that this week, if you received that email from me, that I said that the environment in here will be a little more along the lines of a Bible Institute or maybe even a Bible college class. That is to say that, you know, we're not going to take time in here to share prayer requests. That may happen in the course of conversation as something comes up, but we're not going to take that time for that. We're not going to take the time to have fellowship opportunities within the class setting. That may happen. It may be a byproduct of that. You know, you may start arriving a little earlier so you can talk with people, or you may stick around, you know, and chat with people a little later. But that's not an intent of our time. Those times certainly will happen in our small groups, which I'm hoping that all of you are choosing to be a part of. What we're doing here is really Bible education. And to think about it in Bible terms, what we're doing is we're trying to identify ways to build up the believers. We never really know who's going to be a part of our Sunday morning worship service. Certainly that is my hope, to build the believers in there. But that's a pretty wide range of people who gather here. You know, as I look across the room, I think I know nearly all of you. I've heard your testimonies of faith in Christ. This is a time really for building up the believers in their walks with the Lord and giving you tools to live and tools to engage the world in which we live. So that's a little bit about what we're doing. Over the next many, many, many weeks together, leading into our Missions Emphasis Month, I want us to study some evangelism training. I'm curious, how many of you at some point in time, you had somebody teach you what is called the Romans Road? How many of you had somebody teach you that? All right, a significant number of you. I learned the Romans Road. How many of you have no idea even what the Romans Road is? You don't know what that is. All right, good. I appreciate you communicating that. The Romans Road is a method to communicate the gospel, specifically using the book of Romans. So, for those of you who may at one time have taken the participation in the Romans Road, what's one of the very first verses that you start with in the Romans Road? Romans 3:23, 4. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you might end all the way at the end. What is most likely the end verse that you're looking at? Romans what? What did you say? Yeah, 10:13. She and I did it together. I studied her notes way back when we were in high school together. Which is? That's Romans 8:1. At the end, we are at whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, you know, you're bringing a person to a point of discussion. Wonderful, helpful tool. And if you have that in your memory, I hope that you'll continue to use that. There are other kinds. Maybe some of you have participated in something like Evangelism Explosion, you know, EE. Maybe you've done that. What we're working on here over the next number of weeks together is called Two Ways to Live, developed many, many years ago, about 25, 30 years ago. A couple of good guys who put it together. You're going to need a book. They are available from the pretty lady back in the back. And get those from her if you would. They're $10 each. And you're going to need one. All of our kids are getting one as well. I shouldn't say they're getting one. All of our kids are going to need to get one also. Well, Pastor Chris is encouraging our youth group kids. So we are doing this from 7th grade all the way up through everyone who is in here. What Pastor Chris is encouraging our young men and young ladies this morning is that they don't hit you up for it. They don't come to you and say, hey, Dad, Mom, I need $10 because I got to have the Bible study book. But instead, you know, that they figure that out themselves. That they take money that they got saved, that they're going to do whatever else with them, that they work with that. Now, that's just his suggestion to them. If you want to do something else, of course, you can go ahead and make that happen. Everybody needs a book. Inside the book, you're going to find all kinds of great study materials. There's also a CD in here that you're going to use, especially if you have a computer. All you need is a computer. It's a CD-ROM. And you'll pull it up on your computer, and it has helpful tips for you as we're working through that together. The back of the book has 6 memory cards that are here. In the book, they are in the NIV. You can use whatever particular version that you want. That is of no concern to me. What I am concerned about is that you memorize it. And I hope that you will do that. These will be the memory verses over the many months together from now through the end of the year that you see in the bulletin on a Sunday morning, beginning with next Sunday morning. So that's what we're working on as a group. It's what our kids are working on. I think it's going to provide for you a great opportunity with your family. So if you have young men, young women who are college age or junior high, senior high, you're going to have an opportunity to talk with them about what we're doing together here in Two Ways to Live. You're going to be memorizing the same scriptures. You're going to be studying the same material. In fact, the exact same core ideas that they are going to put to memory, you are going to put to memory. The exact same way to share the gospel that my 12-year-old is learning is the same way to share the gospel that I am learning. We all are learning it together. He can practice on me, and I get to practice on him. We get to exchange ideas within our own family. I think it has the possibility to really be a help not only in our evangelism efforts, but in your own family discipleship. I know as I talk to people regularly, one of the things that people tell me about, both men and women, is their frustration at what to do as a family when you're talking about family Bible time. How do you do that? We've tried and we've failed. I get that struggle. I understand it personally, both in my own family as we're trying to get our schedules together. I understand it in my family growing up, as my dad just really desired to do that, but just didn't feel he had the skills to do it. I get it. One of the byproducts of this, I really think you're going to have the opportunity with whatever your family structure looks like. If it's you and your spouse, just the two of you, this is what the two of you can now work on together. If you add children into the mix, it's what you and your children and your spouse can work on together. If you're not a family, you don't have somebody in your family, you're by yourself, you're a single person. Well, there are all kinds of other people within the body of believers who are learning the exact same thing that you are. And personally, I'm pretty excited about that. I think it'll be a help to you and a help to our church as we move forward. You know, when you talk about evangelism, there are some realities that come into play. What's the reality of gospel communication? Let's be honest with each other. How many of you would say, you know, as a general rule, I'm rather timid about communicating the gospel? How many would say that? My hand is up. Okay? I'm saying that's true of me. It's easy for me when I'm standing there most days. I will tell you personally that there are some times when I'm preaching, believe it or not. And it seems in my own mind that the Holy Spirit is impressing on me right now. Give the gospel right now. And I'm doing my thing, but in my mind I'm having this personal battle. I'm preaching to you. You don't know the battle's going on, but the battle's going in my mind. That's not in my notes right here, right now. Preach the gospel. Sometimes I do, and on occasion I don't. So what I'm saying to you is I recognize that even in my pulpit presentation, that certainly carries over, doesn't it, for many of us. In our walks with people, we sense here is an opportunity to give the gospel. And we didn't. Let me tell you about one that happened to me personally, and then I'll let you give any as you might. A couple weeks ago, Brenda and the girls and I went to the mall. The girls and Brenda were going somewhere for a few days and they needed to pick up some things. So we're at the Mall of America. And I had zero desire to be there. But my attitude was good. I'm just saying I didn't have any desire to be. I had a good attitude. I wasn't mind being the chauffeur. But I, instead of going into the store they were going into, I sat down with my iPad and was reading an e-book on my iPad. And this gentleman came and sat down next to me. And you know what it's like, right? It's as if the Holy Spirit sent you a text message right then. You heard the bing go off, or whatever the sound is that your phone makes, give him the gospel. You know that? And of course, I had a zillion reasons why this was not a good time to give him the gospel. And so, I didn't. And then he left, and boy, was I relieved. You know, Holy Spirit, I'd love to give him the gospel, but hey, he's gone. So I pulled out my, you know, just had my iPad, kept reading along, you know, probably read the same paragraph over and again that I'd read previously. And the guy came back. Sat down next to me. And the next text message came. Bing. Give the guy the gospel. And of course I didn't. Anybody have a, I'm not going to ask you to share your story, but anybody have a similar experience like that in the last month? Anybody? Yeah. It's the reality of gospel communication. Do you know, are you aware that the vast majority of evangelical Christians will never, Bible-believing Christians, people who would profess to be born again, the vast majority will never, ever lead someone to Christ. The vast majority never will. That's the reality. When you read the studies, everybody says it's something that we should do. But very few of us are actually engaging in gospel presentation. You see, success in gospel presentation is not bringing someone to faith in Christ. Success in gospel presentation is giving the gospel. Some plant, others water. Who gives the increase? Yeah, God does. He is the only one who has the capacity to birth somebody. We do not. But we have every capacity and every responsibility. In fact, we have the privilege that the scriptures say is not even given to the angels themselves, to tell of the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. But we live in a world that is very polytheistic, many, many, many gods, and, of course, a healthy segment of our population who believes that there is no God at all. Or if there is a God, she is not unknowable. She is unknowable. And I chose that pronoun carefully. There is a huge, huge, wide gap, it seems, where you are, right? And where somebody else is. And so you want to talk to your friend. You want to talk to your family member. But where you are and where he is, there's a chasm between you and we don't even know how to start. That's what I want to help you with. What I want to put in your hands is something that you can use so that in every conversation, as the Lord gives you opportunity, you can and I can talk together about the gospel. Have you ever considered why we should share the gospel? Boy, if there are two things that you want to feel guilty about, probably to a person, when the pastor, the evangelist, whoever is preaching, if they preach on prayer, we all feel guilty. Nearly all of us. Shouldn't say all. I don't know that's true of everyone. Nearly all of us. They're talking about prayer and tells us stories about people of time past to their prayer lives. And we go, oh, my prayer life isn't like that. And we feel guilty about that. The second one probably is evangelism. We just think that those are two areas we're just not doing real well in. Well, why should we share the gospel? Let me give you three ideas. I'm giving these ideas to you in this order intentionally. The first reason that we share the gospel is because our Lord commands it. Of course, we all know the Great Commission as it's given at the end of Matthew's gospel. It occurs in some form or another in each of the Gospels, and of course in the book of Acts. We share the Gospel because our Lord commands us to do that. I think we all understand that to be true. But we share the Gospel in addition to that because our world needs it. And when I say our world, I don't necessarily mean things, places, people, language groups that are outside of the shores of the United States of America. The reality is that the world in which you live, whoever makes up that world, the people at your work, the people on your street, the people in your family, the people in your immediate household, that forms your world. They need it. Our world needs the gospel. There is a third reason that we should share the gospel. Our church continues because of it. What I mean by that is, the Church of Jesus Christ and this local church will continue as the generations come and as people come to faith in Christ. The church continues because of it. I don't mean to imply that the gates of hell can't prevail against us. I'm simply saying, do the math. We're all going to die someday, right? It's appointed that a man wants to die. Okay, well, who's going to be after us? Those who have come to faith in Christ. Well, how are they going to come to faith in Christ? How will they hear without a what? Yeah, somebody to give them the gospel. So our church continues because of it. Now, what I want you to think about, though, is the intent of that order. Sometimes in our reasons for sharing the gospel, that third idea is put first. We need to experience church growth, therefore we should give the gospel. While it is true that one of the means of church growth is evangelism, that is not the primary reason to give the gospel in order that the church will, as we put it, grow. In fact, even the reality that our world needs the gospel is not the primary reason that we share the gospel. The first reason that we share the gospel is because our Lord tells us to do it. He is our master. We are His slaves. And we do what He tells us to do. And in honor of our master, in obedience to Him, we share the gospel. And the result of that will be that a world who needs it will benefit by it. And the result of that will be that a church will continue to exist and grow by it. That's why we share the gospel. Here's what I want. Here's what will happen as we study our time together. There are two big ideas. When you get your book, you'll find these ideas conveyed in your book. If you have it, it's either on page 5 or page 7. I don't remember which one of the pages it's on. There are two ideas that you will two things that you from which you will benefit from our two ways to live study. One is you will know the gospel thoroughly for yourself. One of the things that is amazing to me as I interact with people is how fuzzy even believing people can be on the gospel. They have some of the ideas down, but they're at best sketchy. And in fact, if you ask individuals to share the gospel, tell me the gospel, they get stuck. Well, if we who have been saved by the gospel don't know it ourselves, we're going to have a real difficult time to live by that same gospel by which we're saved. You see, the gospel is not just about our salvation. The gospel is about our everyday living. What Jesus Christ did on the cross, the victory that He secured, is what enables us to live day after day after day after day after day after day after day. So what we want to do is know the gospel and understand it in such a way that it is just sealed in your brain. Or maybe a better word is seared in your mind. You know the gospel. You may not know all the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. You may not know the order of the minor prophets. You may have to use the index to find, does Daniel come before or after Jeremiah? But here's what you do know. You know the gospel. That's one of our ideas. The second that we hope to cover, and that I hope to teach you, and that we hope to have together, is that you will be equipped. So that's what this hour is about. This hour is about equipping the saints. You'll be equipped to share this gospel with others as you have opportunity. So my opportunity in the mall. Your opportunity with your cousin. An opportunity that any of us has that God providentially brings along our way. I'm convinced that as you and I know and thoroughly understand the gospel, and as we are equipped to share the gospel with others, that we will find those opportunities to do that increasing dramatically. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody told you about leading another individual to Christ, and then maybe you saw that person get baptized here or wherever, you heard their testimony of faith, and that individual communicated, here's how I came to know the Lord, and there may have been one key person in that, and you thought, man, I sure would like to be able to do that. Anybody ever thought that? I sure would like to be able to share the gospel and have somebody come to conversion and see them be baptized and part of a local church and see their lives just totally transformed. I'd like for the God to use me like that. Probably all of us have thought that at some point in time. I think this is true, that as you are well-versed in your own understanding of the gospel, and you are equipped to share that gospel, those opportunities to do that become more and more and more. Because you see, something amazing happens. When you first got saved, especially if you got saved, you know, high school, college, as an adult, when you first got saved, communicating the gospel was something that you just seemed to do very, very naturally. You just want to tell everybody you got saved. I remember one of our guys a number of years ago, he got saved and just, you know, God just really gave him a pretty good understanding of what happened to him. And I remember him telling me on shortly after he got saved, he said, "Hey, Pastor, I was driving down the street. I came to a stop sign, and I looked over the car next to me, and there was a Bible in the back window of the car. I rolled down my window. I reached over, rolled down the window, and I said, 'Hey, are you a Christian?'" The guy driving kind of looked at him, like, "What? Are you a Christian? Because I just got saved." The guy over there rolled up the window and just drove away. He said to me, "Pastor, why don't people who are saved want to talk about it?" He told me, he said, this is in the same conversation. He said, "I was in somebody's house this week, and I walked in their house, and on the wall there was a picture of Jesus on the wall. And we got done talking about the matters that the reason I was there. And we're all done. I said, 'Hey, are you a Christian? I see you got a picture of Jesus on your wall. Are you a Christian? Because I just got saved.'" And the person to whom he was talking really didn't want to have anything to do with the conversation. The point being that now that we are a little beyond the initial part of our salvation experiences, and we recognize, "Oh boy, I don't know an awful lot. I really don't know enough to share the gospel. I'm not equipped to do that." And that's what I want to help us to arrive at that. Because there are five things that we're going to learn together. We're going to learn what the gospel is. The gospel is very well defined in the scriptures. It's not fuzzy. It is clear. And it needs to be clearly understood by everyone. We're going to learn the gospel together. So that everyone who is a part of this group, everyone who is in our youth group, everyone who is here, we all are going to know verbatim the gospel is. We're going to know the words that are critical. We're going to know the points that are necessary to understand the gospel. We're going to know that these are great Bible ideas, but they're not in the gospel communication. We are all going to know that, every one of us, and we're all going to know the same thing. Because the gospel does not vary from here to there, then or now. We're all going to learn the gospel together. We're all going to understand what that means. Of course, you remember from your days of taking tests that being able to learn something and understand something are two different things, right? So you may learn what a theorem is in your days in geometry, but understanding how to use that theorem, for those of you who remember what a theorem is, two totally different ideas, right? Completely different ideas. I mean, I know that gasoline is what powers my car. I understand. I've learned that. But if you ask me to really break that down for what happens within an internal combustion engine, you know, at some point I'm going to lose my capacity to communicate with you on the subject. There's a difference between learning the gospel and understanding the gospel. Third idea, we're going to understand evangelism together. It's a big idea. You know, proselytizing is not in our culture, it's not really very well accepted, is it? That you would proselytize someone. In certain cultures, it's illegal. Out of the table out there, there are three or four copies of Voice of the Martyrs. And each one of them talks about individuals who communicate the gospel. There's a sign out there that says this message is illegal in these countries. And you can see the restricted countries or the inhibited countries. It's not yet illegal mostly in our country. There is some capacity which it is within our country. But the reality is we need to understand what evangelism is and what it means to bring someone from where they are to where we desire that they would be. Fourth one is we're going to learn to share the gospel. Boy, how many times have you been in a conversation and you've sensed that the Holy Spirit would desire for you to give the gospel, and you're even willing? You know, not like me the other day in the Mall of America where I really wasn't willing to share the gospel. That was the issue. The issue had nothing to do with whether or not I knew it or understand it or understand evangelism. It had everything to do with whether or not I was willing to share the gospel. That's not you. You know, you want to share it, but you're just not sure how to do that. How do I get this conversation that we're talking about whether or not the Obama administration is going to engage in quantum easing 3, which is really important, but it's certainly not as important as this man's soul. How do I change the conversation from QE3 to the gospel? How do I do that? How do I talk with this woman who simply wants to talk about the hobby that she's engaged and how much she enjoys doing that? How do we move the conversation from stamping to the gospel, as important as stamping is? How do we move it that direction? And I think that's where a lot of people are. Maybe that's where you are. You know, I'm willing. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to shift it from woodworking or motorcycles or cars or our grandkids. I don't know how to shift it from there to there. We're going to learn how to do that. And the last thing we're going to learn together is prayer. The critical component of that, we're not simply engaged in techniques like any of you who are in sales and you go to seminars and they teach you how to close the deal. You know, we're not engaged in something like that. Even though we are offering something and calling people to a response, we understand that this is a spiritual battle. It's not simply a monetary budget battle as it might be in sales. It's not a presentation issue primarily like it might be in sales. This is a spiritual battle in which we are engaged, where we desperately need God to secure the victory. One of the things I really like about the material that we're going to be studying together is when you give the gospel presentation, as we're going to learn it, when you come to the conclusion, you really do come to the point of calling that person then and there to determine what are you going to do about Christ. As opposed to what I think so often happens in our conversations, you know, I got to share a little bit of the gospel, but, you know, we really didn't get to a point of saying whether or not this person would put his faith in Christ or not. You know, that's really where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to accept Christ? Will you believe the gospel? We're going to do that. So, a couple other things. The first 4 weeks together is all spent on the first two ideas: learning the gospel, understanding the gospel. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do some field trips. My intent is that we are going to go to the University of Minnesota's campus on a home football day, where there are, depending upon if it's a good season or bad season, there might be 20, 30, 40,000 people there or more. And we're going to go and we're going to practice. And so Michael and I are going to walk up to this guy who's sitting by himself, and we're going to say, hey, We're a couple of Christians, and we're learning how to talk to people about what it means to be a Christian. Would you mind if we practiced on you? And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to practice. And he might get saved, but we're learning how to do this. This is part of our training. We're learning how to talk about Christ. So as we get into October, we're going to pick a date, and we'll do that together. Can't do it that day, we'll figure out another way for you to practice sharing the gospel. So some high accountability in here. You're going to have to learn some things. You're going to have to memorize some stuff. You're going to have to do your homework. So when you see the study book, you're going to look in there and there are blanks. Those blanks don't get filled in here. Those blanks get filled in away from here. You're going to have to do your work because this is serious business. You're not going to be able to figure it out in 45 minutes once a week if you're on time. 37 minutes if you're not on time. 4 out of 6 weeks if you have some reasons that you have to be away on a couple of weeks, which happens for everybody. You're going to have to do the work away from here. But it will pay off for you. And my hope is that the Lord will be pleased with us as we make it a point to know His gospel for ourselves. And we learn how to share it in response to His command for the good of our world and for the ongoing life of our church. So that's what we're doing. We'll do it every week. We'll take this right up until the first week of a missions conference. Those 5 weeks of missions conference will be together. Our missionaries will be speaking each time in this particular hour. I think it'll be wonderfully appropriate in light of what we're studying right now together. When we come back at the end of that missions conference, we'll pick up where we left off and on we'll go. What questions can I answer for you? Yes, Jeannie? Will these teachings be online? We'll work to make that happen. Okay? Good question. I hadn't thought about that, but I'm certain that we can do that. And I'm even looking at the guys right now who are shaking their heads at me, so I don't need to write it down. You guys will take care of it. Great. Good question. What else? Okay? Brenda's back there. There are a limited supply of books. Please get one. If you can't get one today, they'll be available throughout the week here at church. You can get them on Wednesday night. If you happen to be here on Wednesday, you can do that. But you're going to need one. Yeah. Yeah, good question. Good question. Is it a couple's book or do each of you need one of your own? Best case scenario is each of you has your own. Best case scenario. All right. So that when you want to study, he doesn't have it. And when he loses it, it's his fault and not yours, right? So we're not creating marital conflict because of our Sunday school hour. He has his own. That's why we've encouraged our kids to get their own. You know, we want them working on their own as well. Brent and I each will have our own. That's what we're doing. I recognize, though, that for some people that may not be possible. And, you may just say, hey, we can do it together. So liberty in that area. But be forewarned, the guy might lose it. Or he might put the wrong answers in there, and then you have to hit him because he gave the wrong answer, all that kind of stuff. What else? Thanks, everyone.